Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
No, it's John.
That's what I said.
No, there's no H. It's John.
Since when?
Nick, it's always been John. You're misremembering it.
I must have crossed into a parallel dimension.
And this is stranger still.
Kids, and welcome to Stranger Still.
Hi, adults. My name's John Vegan.
And I'm Nick Wood.
And everyone else in between.
And this is a show
where we talk about strange things that you never thought to ask.
Yeah, and I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
I meant to say that I'm still sick, but they rhyme, so my mind was just like, no, say Nick, because that's what you normally say.
What a train wreck. My name's John Vegan.
Today we're going to talk about something that's pretty hot right now. It's been hot for a while.
Mm-hmm. The climate.
Yep. You might have read the title to this and thought, oh, they're going to talk about, like, Berenstain Bears and stuff. But no, we're going to talk to you today about climate change.
We've also disabled the pause mechanism on your podcast, so you're going to have to listen to this.
Yes. Climate change is real.
That's nice.
Hashtag something.
Yeah.
What's a hot hashtag right now?
Hashtag hash browns. I don't know. I look at a lot of breakfasts on Instagram.
Yeah. Anyway, we are actually talking about the Mandela effect. Have you heard about this? When's the first time you heard about the Mandela effect? Because I know you know about it. I was being facetious.
Yeah. I heard about it from those little bear fellas a couple years ago.
Some bears told you?
Some bears told me. I was in my backyard, and they came out and they said, "It's spelled with an
Yeah.
And I was like, it's really weird specific.
Yeah. And you had to, like, go to the internet.
Yeah, I looked it up and it was true.
Yeah.
Berenstain.
So, yeah, that's the most common instance of what we will henceforth refer to as the Mandela effect.
In recent trending.
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll get into timelines here because that is interesting in itself, but it's been popular for some years now. The Berenstain Bears versus Berenstain Bears. Stain.
Yeah.
Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, spelled Berenstein or Berenstain.
Yep.
What was your memory of the Berenstain Bears?
So, I kind of have like a... Maybe I'm more evolved than most humans because I'm just, like, better than a lot of people. I hope that's taken out of context. I kind of, like, read it and said, oh, okay, well, I thought it was Stain. Or I thought it was Stein or Stein or whatever.
Stein.
And then I said, I guess it wasn't, and then I got over it immediately.
Well, this exploded, and my earliest memory of it, and I'm not even joking here, this is a real memory, is that when I was in second grade, I remember thinking it was Berenstain Bears. And then everyone around me was spelling it. I don't remember why we were spelling it out. We were probably writing a book report or something.
Yeah.
Because we were practicing for real book reports.
Yeah.
And everyone else was spelling it Stein. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll write it Stein. And then this exploded. I was like, huh, I guess I was right.
So you went back to Miss Smith and you said, you're going to take back that grade you gave me in second grade.
Yeah. I don't remember my second grade teacher's name. Mrs. Otterbeck. That's it.
Mrs. Otterbeck?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She was so cool.
Was she an Otterbeck girl?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
She wasn't?
No, she wasn't.
She ain't?
She ain't no
okay.
Otterbeck girl. We have gotten so far off path here. So let me back up a little bit because I'm sure there's people out there that have no idea what the Mandela effect is, or when we talk about Berenstain versus Berenstain, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Those are children's series, children books.
Yes, Berenstain Bears is a children's book series that talks about many life lessons with this anthropomorphic family of bears. There's a mom, a dad, a sister, and a brother. And is there a baby one?
Yeah, there's a little one.
There's a little baby girl. And they became a TV series and... blah, blah, blah. It's a huge cultural impact to people our age, I would say. Maybe younger, definitely older, though.
Yep. The TV series is called Little Bear, and they changed the art style.
Huh? There was a bear in Stan.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I hate you so much. I was like, I thought you were being real. But the whole contention comes because most people thought they were called the Berenstain Bears with an E, but in reality, not this fake made-up mumbo-jumbo, it is actually spelled with an A, the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
And that is the result of the Mandela Effect, which knowyourmeme.com, the leading authority on this type of thing.
Which is really, really well-researched and organized.
Yeah, it is so well-curated.
I yesterday went to a category of subcultures, and it has lists of subcultures that you click in, and it pulls up, like, its own whole Wikipedia website based on that subculture.
Yeah, like, it's actually impressive because there'll be times when I'm like, this surely just came out of nowhere, and we have no idea where this started. And they're like, nope, back in...
this person posted this. Here's the post. Here's the original link. Here's how it evolved.
Username and
yeah. Nuts.
So knowyourmeme.com defines the Mandela Effect as something which refers to a phenomenon in which a large number of people share false memories of past events. Some have speculated that the memories are caused by parallel universes, hence the joke at the very beginning, spilling into our own, while others explain the phenomenon as a failure of collective memory. So it's a fancy way of saying a lot of people misremember the same thing all at once.
Yep.
So we'll get into parallel universes later. But this, like I said, is surprisingly new, well, as it's been identified as the Mandela Effect. Surely it's been around since the dawn of time, but with social media and big forums like Reddit and 4chan and stuff like that, it gives us a much broader opportunity to share this strange phenomenon with one another.
So tell people why it's called the Mandela Effect, Nicholas.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to get to. Is this is also according to Know Your Meme. The term Mandela Effect was first coined back in 2010, so only 7 years ago. Their website says that back then a blogger named Fiona Broom was at Dragon Con, which I think is just a convention. I think it's down in the south somewhere. I'm probably super wrong about that. But while she was there, for some random reason, she discovered that herself and many other people believed that Nelson Mandela had died in prison. And Nelson Mandela, as everyone knows, was the former South African president, and he was imprisoned. And many people just thought that he had died while he was in prison.
Hmm.
And she said, this is a quote from knowyourmeme.com. She said, "See, I thought Nelson Mandela died in prison. I thought I remembered it clearly, complete with news clips of his funeral, the mourning in South Africa, some rioting in cities, and the heartfelt speech by his widow. Then I found out he was still alive." And back in 2010, he was alive. And due to this collective false memory that she discovered at Dragon Con 2010, she opened a site called MandelaEffect.com, which is still active today and just posts. I think the last one they posted was April 22nd, 2017, and they just post other instances of the Mandela Effect.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How much would Nelson Mandela mess with people just because that's his name?
Well,
at this point,
I'm gonna save that for a little bit because I think I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And he sort of had a response to it because he did die in 2013, so it was 3 years after this was coined.
Yeah.
And this was after the Mandela Effect had already hit pop culture. So remember 2013, because this timeline is kind of interesting to compare to.
Yeah.
I
can't help but think that, you know, if I were him and I were to find this out, I would mess with my kids all day and be like, what are you talking about? It's exactly where you left it. You always had a red fire truck. And he puts the blue one in, like, the garbage.
Who has a blue fire truck?
Oh, you think fire trucks are red?
We're not all of us are colorblind like you.
Okay.
So anyway, this is where we're going to get into the crazy parallel universes theory. So back in 2012, a guy by the name of Reese, couldn't find a last name, he posted a
pieces.
Very... Reese
Pieces. S Pieces.
Pieces.
His middle name is Sandra.
Oh, okay.
Reese S Pieces.
Well, I was going with like the...
The joke was fine.
Well, let me explain my joke.
Okay.
Because I was going with the Powerpuff Girls naming convention, where there's that kid whose name was Elmer Sklue.
Oh, yeah.
But Reese S. Pieces posted an extensive article on his blog, and it was titled The Berenstain Bears. Berenstain bears. We are living in our own parallel universe. And this is very, very long, so I'm sorry, but I want to read an excerpt from the beginning of his article.
Okay.
When I was growing up, all through elementary school, we would watch movies and read books about the Berenstain Bears. I still even remember the theme song for the TV show, mostly, which wasn't a song so much as a guy in a gruff bear voice speaking in rhyming couplets. If you don't know who the Berenstain Bears are, they were a nuclear family of anthropomorphic bears who lived in a tree out in bear country and had a family-based situational comedy and taught life lessons. And Ma Bear always wore a blue shower cap. I do remember that. I don't know why he included that, but... These bears appeared in series of children books, a lot of typos in here, by the married Stan and Jan Berenstain, that later became a TV series that got beamed to third grade classrooms all over the country. Anyone between the ages of 23 to 30, and maybe more, will know who the Berenstain Bears are. And they will remember the flashy cursive bubble letters on the front of every single book, and in the opening credits of the show, the bubble letters that spelled out Berenstain Bears. About a year ago, Jan Berenstain passed away, as had Stan some time before. And appearing in headlines across the internet, I saw, quote, Jan Berenstain dies at 88. Berenstain, with a capital A. They misspelled her name.
And they capitalized it in the middle of
the
word.
Well, he did. Okay. They misspelled her name in her obituary. Gosh, that's just really morbidly embarrassing. Berenstain doesn't even make sense. When I caught this, I decided to send a correction about the article title. Jan Berenstain's bears were a huge part of my childhood. I owe her at least this. Except when I went to the internet to find a source for the name change correction, turns out everyone has misspelled their name. And everyone has always misspelled her name. Can you put a stinger there?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's put something real creepy.
Leave this in, too. And then I saw the book covers, the ones in the squiggly bubble letters from my childhood, the ones I saw 100 times a month from the formative ages of 5 to 9, the ones that every 20-something in the world will tell you read Berenstain Bears, except they don't read Berenstain Bears, they read Berenstain. Another stinger, please.
Yeah, I also want everybody to know how intense your eye contact is when you say that.
Reese then goes on to explain how in 1992 they were Steen, but here in 2012 they were Stain. Somewhere along the line, we had shifted universes, and now I'm like keeping this mode of talking that I did throughout that, and I can't leave it.
Yeah.
So let me slap myself.
Oh, man. Sonically pleasing.
So anyway, he says that somewhere along the line, we had shifted universes, and not just Reese, as it turns out, many people had shifted universes because many people remember Steen over Stain.
Mm-hmm.
He calls the shifting of universes, quote, a modest proposal, then literally goes on to provide evidence based in physics of how this can happen, how we can shift universes. Not tangible evidence, but he reports on theories of relativity and something with imaginary numbers and things that I don't comprehend because I'm a dude in my basement.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's all probably pretty cool. But why would we only change the one letter in a children's book?
Well, I read this other theory that I wasn't going to go into, but people are like, your conscious state is in a universe where you have survived all death, and any possibility of your dying is in a different universe. And any time that you've come face to face with death, that could be when you shifted universes. And now you're in this other universe where it's Steen instead of, or Stain instead of Steen.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple of times too. Why does this universe shift only when you're about to die? Like you're some kind of egocentric.
Well, I mean, your body is lifted into the one where you are.
Oh, if you do die in that universe, you shift to the other one.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So that's where you would shift your universes. And in regards to Berenstain versus Stein, this is something that I also wasn't going to go into, but it's still interesting, is someone in the Berenstain family replied to the guy that wrote this article via Facebook. He's like, normally I don't reach out to people that talk about our name. But I thought this was interesting because it's... a lot of people have been very confused over the years, and it's always been Berenstain ever since we came through on Ellis Island. The pronunciation from his family, I think back in Germany or something, was Berenstain. So it had like a Y in it and a S-C-H, and they simplified it. They romanized. They Anglified it, yep. I think is our official Stranger Still term, to Berenstain as we know it. So if you were to go back to that point in this universe, at some point it would have split off where the Anglified version was Steen instead of Stain.
Thanks, Ellis Island.
So there's your answer in regards to this specific one. In all reality, there is some science to why this happens, and I feel bad doing this like every time. I'm like, here's this cool thing. I'm going to set it up like a nice little sandcastle on the edge of the beach.
And then knock it off a giant wave of truth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's on Max Fun. There's a podcast and TV show called Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what we're doing, too. So
yeah, I just feel bad. There's an actual name for what's happening here, and it's called confabulation, which is fun to say.
It's confabulous.
Confabulation.
Confabulation.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
So it's used in psychology, and since it deals with the brain, that means we don't know 100% why it works. Because the brain's stupid, in a not stupid way. But there's tons of theories on how it does work in our brain. The important thing is that there's two types of confabulation. There's provoked confabulation. You want to guess what that is?
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Hey, this was like within A, totally, right? Like, everybody remembers that? Or E?
Yeah. And you're right on point there. It's like when someone asks you, hey, what were those anthropomorphic bears called? And you're relying on your own memory to call back and find the answer.
Yeah.
You're provoked to find this answer through your memory.
Cool.
And then inversely, there's unprovoked confabulation. You want to take a wild swing at that?
You're the person that listened to me say it. So I say to you, hey, don't you remember this being this way? And you're unprovoked and think, yeah, sure.
Actually, no, but I think that that's where this problem comes from. Hold on to that thought, okay?
Okay.
So unprovoked confabulation is when you're randomly telling a story, and I think the example was like you're just an old dude sitting in a chair, and you're like, back in my day, we had to walk 9 miles to school. And details can get a little messed up as you're recalling this, like, in real time.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, let's say you're writing a story on your blog about someone named Jan, and she died, and you were reading her obituary, and you started to come up with this theory of how we crossed dimensions.
Yeah, that's just a good example.
Just for example. So the science behind this is that long-term memory is stored in our frontal lobe, and many places will say that confabulation is probably due to damage in the frontal lobe.
Oh, no.
Well, I think that's in the most extreme cases, because then they go on to talk about dementia and Alzheimer's. And one website said that unprovoked confabulation can lead to outlandish tales due to damage in the frontal lobe, which makes me think of Big Fish, you know, that movie and book.
Yeah.
Like how that dad was just like telling these outlandish tales.
Yep.
At the end, you find out that they're actually real, but
most
like some people tell these outlandish tales, and it might be due to some damage to the frontal lobe. In small cases like the Mandela effect, I honestly just think it's that our memory sucks. If you don't know this about your brains, your memory sucks.
Yeah, there's an eye opening and mind opening.
Wow.
Thing that I did in high school. It wasn't acid. It was a psychology class.
Yeah.
And my teacher wanted to let us know how dumb we were. So she said, okay, I'm going to read these numbers out.
Uh-huh.
13, 7, 4, 26, 8, 9, whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, how many can you remember? And she had like a master list. And we were like, yeah, this is easy. Like, you just said it.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't get it. And it's just, oh, like, what was the first number that I said there, Nick?
I think it was just 13.
Okay.
7, 26, something like that.
There's a 9 in there, too.
Someone will go.
But I can't remember all of them either.
Right.
If only we recorded this.
Oh, darn. It's all into the ether now. So that has to deal with short term, but, I mean, all memory just sucks. It doesn't matter if it's long term or short term. It's unreliable, And I'm sure you've heard about like the touchiness of using hypnosis to recall events that someone's having trouble remembering or repressed memories, smarter people might call it. The problem with that is that sometimes if someone is asking you to recall something, like even a past life, like you hear about past life regression, you can dip into using your imagination without realizing it.
The therapist can be doing provoked confabulation.
Yeah, they could be planting these in your mind, and you're using your imagination without realizing it, but to you it feels like you're recalling it, so it's solidifying itself as a memory.
Yeah.
Right? So the other thing that you said before, and this is the thought I wanted you to hold on to, is that it can absolutely be influenced by outsiders. Because if someone's like, don't you remember Berenstain? And you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds right. And now you have that little nugget planted in your brain just waiting to come out and be like, it wasn't Berenstain!
Not only that, but it's awkward enough talking to other humans, right?
Uh-huh.
Now you've got this lie that you told out loud, and you can't go back and say, no, actually, I think it was with an A, even though I agreed with you.
Yeah.
So you just kind of maybe make yourself believe it, so you don't have to, you could avoid that conflict.
That's also true. People, this is a PSA, real fast. When you're wrong, admit it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I want to do a whole episode on how to be wrong.
Okay.
I was reading, and it's Pride Month this month, so I'm working on something regarding that, but I did read an article about how to have a conversation with someone who is transgender and how to say, okay, I still have a lot to learn about this.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just admit that you don't know something and don't just like run your mouth off because you don't know.
Yep.
It took me a long time to get to that point in my life where I'm like, I don't know enough about that to talk about it, which came very useful this political season.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, now this memory has been altered by this fake recollection, and I also think it's important to note that every time you recall something, it is being altered, which might be really disappointing to learn for some people out there, that your memories are stored in there, and you recall them, it's like it's dusting it back off, and it's not going to be the same that it was before it was dusted off. So your childhood could be completely altered compared to how it actually was, just based on your recollection.
You're ruining my life right now.
I am so sorry, and it might be disconcerting.
Not only because of that, but the part of my brain that's being defensive doesn't want to believe you. And then also,
there's a name for that.
Okay.
And that is, I can't remember.
Confabulation.
No, it's not confabulation. I wish I could remember what it is.
You look that up.
Okay, you talk,
so,
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, what I was going to say was, now that's the only thing I'm going to ever be able to think about whenever I'm remembering a memory is, oh, was it really like that, though? It's just so depressing.
I know, and I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but the idea is that psychologically you have these solid beliefs, so you can't reconcile evidence in your brain coming against that information, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say, I'm trying to think of a harmless example, because every example I can think of is political.
Let's say something that's like an actual fact, like gravity.
Yeah. So let's say that you think, oh, here's one. You believe that the earth is flat, and you have been raised to believe that the earth is flat, and you have seen pictures of the earth being flat.
Uh-huh.
Your parents think the earth is flat. You go to a church where everyone there thinks the earth is flat, and it's the only thing they practice there is that the earth is flat. And then one day, you go to space. And as you're leaving the atmosphere, you start to see the curvature of the Earth in the horizon form. And you're like, oh, surely that's just where the Earth ends. But you're looking at it, and all you see is the two Americas. You don't see Africa, and you don't see Asia or Europe. And you're like, oh, my God. No, this is just a hologram. Because, like, there's no way. This is the phenomenon where your brain starts to come up with reasons that everything that you believe in is right.
Yep. It's kind of the same thing with every ancient person that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the sun. It's God.
Yeah.
And except this is taking it to the next level to other people saying, no, it's just the sun.
It's just this big ball of gas.
don't make it angry. It's listening.
We have to make sacrifices to it now. So anyway, I got derailed there again. I really love this subject because psychology is really fun to me. So I'm sorry that I have derailed a lot. But I honestly think that most examples of the Mandela effect or collective false memories can easily be explained away. And people are not willing to accept the, I guess, Occam's razor, as opposed to the fact that we've changed universes or whatever.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Occam's razor would say something like, for instance, with the Bernstein argument, I think that this stems from the fact that 99.9% of last names that have the Steen sound to it are S-T-E-I-N. Like, how often have you come across someone whose last name ends with S-T-A-I-N?
Yeah, not often at all.
I don't think I ever have. In my life, I've never come across that. I've come across plenty of Steens, but never any Stains. So we're like, when this gets filed away to our long-term memory, we don't care about how it was spelled, but someday we have to go back to there and we're like, what was that name? It had to be Bernstein because no one is named Bernstein.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
That's where I think that comes from.
If we're going to transition into a different topic off of the Bernstein Bears,
yeah.
Can I give me like my news outro?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a stain we can't remove. What's next, Nicholas?
Well, the sun is shining out today. We're looking at 84 degrees.
You mean the God?
24%. What?
God is shining up in...
And we have to make that goat sacrifice before 6 o'clock, otherwise we will all die a fiery death. Back to you, John.
Wonderful, Nick, wonderful.
Now make sure if you're going to pick up a goat, it is a virgin. Otherwise it does not work. And you will have to give up your firstborn child. Sorry.
Also, the humidity is at 85%.
Thank you, Iowa. So the next one, I want to cover Nelson Mandela. What did you think? Because I thought that he was dead. I was in this camp that was like, Nelson Mandela is dead.
That was my introduction to the Mandela effect, oddly enough. So I never had an opinion on it.
Yeah?
And I know that he's dead now.
He is.
But
prior to 4 years ago.
I don't think I really knew about this 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So I didn't have an opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think it springs from that one time that our brilliant president, George W. Bush, literally said he was killed by Saddam Hussein at a news briefing. Back, I don't remember when this was, but it was within his presidency, so pre-2008. There's a clip. Let's play the clip.
The, you know, part of the reason why there's not this kind of instant democracy in Iraq is because people are still recovering from Saddam Hussein's brutal rule. I thought an interesting comment was made when somebody said to me, I heard somebody say, you know, where's Mandela? Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas. He was a brutal tyrant.
So at the time, Nelson Mandela was alive. He died in 2013. And he had to come out and say, hey, I'm still alive, dudes. That wasn't as... float around
can you
the
imagine,
media.
Can you imagine having a president as dumb as George Bush?
That's so bizarre. Maybe we're in an alternate universe. But no, like, George W. Bush is going to get way more coverage than Nelson Mandela saying, no, I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't going to propagate and keep this idea that he's alive.
And if you're really in that mode already, that you're not going to believe anything, you're going to say, oh, it's pre-recorded. Your mind's going to come up with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, no. Let's move on to some ones we haven't talked about yet. How about Looney Tunes? How do you spell it?
Oh, God. Looney?
Mm-hmm. Don't try to play the game. Just how do you spell it?
T-O-O-N-S.
No.
T-U-N-E-S?
Yes.
Great. That was my first guess. I did try to play the game.
So, no. Many people will think that it is T-O-O-N-S. And it's actually T-U-N-E-S, and I assume, I don't know any actual reasons, but I assume it's because they were called Merry Melodies, so they went with T-U-N-E-S to follow
that
the
makes
Melodies
sense to me.
Thing. And I think the confusion on this one is pretty easy to explain.
Yeah.
Because they're cartoons, so you would think it's T-O-O-N-S, but it's T-U-N-E-S.
That one I'm totally cool with.
Yeah. The other thing with that is if you see it spelled out T O O N S, it looks so not right. But like you don't ever consciously read that. You're just like, ah, it's Looney Tunes, because you're just recognizing the shapes. But if you actually sit there and read it with O's instead of a U, you're like, no, that's
yeah,
not right.
It's going to look weird.
One thing that tripped me up, because I saw the correct spelling and it still didn't look right to me, was how do you spell Oscar Mayer, as in the Wiener Company?
O-S-C-A-R?
Mm-hmm.
M-E-Y-E-R?
Nope.
M-A?
Yes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
A as in what?
What? Because I looked at the packaging and they had them, they had photoshopped them side by side. So there's one that said Oscar M-E-Y-E-R, and then there's one that said Oscar M-A-Y-E-R. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, the one with the A looks weird. It's got to be M-E-Y-E-R. Nope.
Yeah. Here's the trick.
Yeah.
They're both wrong. It's Oscar Mayer. He was a political figure.
M-A-Y-O-R.
Yep.
Gotcha.
I think everyone should have a hot dog.
Are you Bane now?
Is what he used to say.
No, I'm not Oscar. I'm Oscar. Mayor Oscar.
Everyone?
The Wiener Man.
Free hot dog Tuesdays.
Free hot dogs every day.
So.
Yeah, his favorite thing was in board meetings, like political events and things like that. He'd say,
oh, I didn't read that. Guess I'll have to catch up.
It went over well every time.
Everyone just burst up laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got any other jokes.
Yeah, but no, he was elected out of office for using slangs when he called somebody a mustard.
I was trying to make mustard into a joke. Oh, I can't
really
keep
just
up with your jokes.
Disgusting.
I'm just gonna have to relish in it.
You're being bun professional.
We could go on for hours. Anyway, moving on. Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
He gets greeted by an FBI agent whose name is Clarice.
Yeah.
And when he says, or when he sees Clarice, he says,
"Good morning, Clarice."
That's actually right.
That's, was it?
Yeah, everyone thinks he says, "Hello, Clarice." Right?
And he's going to, "I'm going to eat some flavor beans."
That's the fava beans.
Mm-mm. Give me those flavorful beans.
He's slowly turning into Guy Fieri. Yeah.
Welcome to Flavor Town. We got flavor beans.
I'm going to eat your bones with some flavor beans. Wicked hot mustardy flavored sauce.
No, but the whole joke is, "Hello, Clarice," right?
Yeah.
I think this stems from pop culture, because like in parody movies, because the actual line is "Good morning." And if you were making a parody movie and someone picks up the phone and you're like, "Hello," and they say "Good morning," it's not gonna call to mind.
Well, maybe the horror is that it's nighttime.
Yeah.
Ooh. A maniac doesn't know what time means.
But if you, I mean, plenty of people came up with this "Hello, Clarice" bit, and it makes it more obvious what they're parodying.
Mm-hmm.
One more?
One more.
In Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, are you familiar with this show?
Yeah.
The theme song goes, "It's a beautiful day in
a neighborhood?" No. I thought it was "the neighborhood."
Well, most people would say "the neighborhood."
Yeah.
"It's this neighborhood."
What?
Yeah. And that blows a lot of people's minds.
Oh.
Because, what?
Now, my mind was being blown with that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
"It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty."
I think this comes from the fact that "the" flows better than "this," so your brain just streamlines it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to explain.
I remember the whole song, though.
Yeah,
it was, "It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, not a beautiful day in that neighborhood, because Flint has bled in the water.
And we are more privileged than them."
Yep. Yeah, that's how it went. And he just goes on describing other neighborhoods.
That's all I got. You want to recap?
Yeah. Maybe you, like, look things up.
It all boils down to that. Yeah, just look crap up, people.
And, like, do it good.
And do a good one.
Yep. That's all I got.
Cool. We can be found where?
You can go to StrangerStillPodcast.com.
And you can also find us on Twitter at StrangerStill.
It was StrangerStillPodcast. Or was it StrangerStillPod on Twitter?
No, it's always been StrangerStill.
Oh, and what was our website?
StrangerStillShow.com.
Is that what I said?
I have no idea. I wasn't listening. I was checking my phone.
You can also go to strangerstillshow.com.
What did you actually say?
You'll have to listen.
Okay.
You can find us on Facebook when you search Stranger Still.
And leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
My goal. Because I've been branching out my podcast listening scope a little bit.
Uh-huh.
This is a little bit into my personal life here, but I've been addicted to crime, true crime and mysteries lately. And I was listening to Sword and Scale, and I was enjoying it. And then I found out the host is a terrible person.
Yeah.
And so I researched it, and I was like, maybe there's another side to this. So I was like, I'll get over it. I'll keep listening. And then I couldn't get over it. So now I was looking for a different true crime podcast, and I downloaded like 6 different ones so I could listen to them and figure out which ones I liked. And they all had like 2,000 reviews. So my goal is to get 2,000 reviews. We are at 33.
Okay.
Let's get to 2,000.
Okay, yeah, that's doable. Our deadline is...
infinity.
All right.
Anyway.
If we have 1999 and you lead the 2,000th...
we will give you...
The death of this podcast is on your is on your hands.
It is on your hands. So as we often do, I asked... and you asked what people's favorite instance of the Mandela effect were.
Mm-hmm.
We only got a couple of responses. Jason, very active on our group. Thank you, Jason. Said that he's not sure if it's exactly the Mandela effect, but at the end of Cloverfield, when the tape cuts to the, quote, old footage of the two characters at the fun fair, could have sworn I saw in the cinema, he saw something splash down in the ocean behind them.
Yeah, it's an egg.
Yeah, the egg of the monster. And then he said he watched it at home and that splash wasn't there. And I was like, no, if this isn't real, then my whole world is, like, turned upside down. And I found the clip where it is there, and he was thinking of the wrong scene. Because there's the scene where it cuts back to the old footage.
Yeah.
But then I think after the credits, there's one where it's just looking out into the ocean off the pier, and that's when it happens.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought it was on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah. It's looking at a Ferris wheel.
Okay.
You can look at the clip on our Facebook page. Another one from Alina. She said, it's a tie between the Berenstain Bears and the missing lyrics of We Are the Champions.
Oh, have of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Well, there's that part where he says, of the world, but it's in the middle of the song.
Oh,
it's not at the end of the song.
That's a little nitpicky for me.
Yeah, it is nitpicky. You also linked to a BuzzFeed article that had some pretty good ones on there.
Yeah, so I did that because I didn't know if everyone knew what the Mandela effect was.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in, like, just simple terms.
Yeah, I figured we could go over a couple of these real fast because a couple of them are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And someone commented on it, everything I know is a lie.
Which I laughed at.
Yeah. like the sex or the show Sex and the City is called Sex and the City.
Yeah, I knew that.
Not Sex in the City.
Yeah.
I was on your boat there. People think the Monopoly Man had a monocle, but he doesn't.
I remember that too. Yeah.
But when I look at him with a monocle, it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So when I visualize him in my head, I don't see a monocle. So I don't think I ever believe that one. But I do think this stemmed from Ace Ventura. Because there's one scene where, like, this guy comes down with a monocle. He's like, $200 for passing go.
Oh, yeah.
About his monocle.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I think that's where it comes from.
He does call him something money bags.
Yeah. There's another one. The tip of Pikachu's tail isn't black. I was like, duh.
Yeah, I guess that's aesthetic because of his ears.
Probably, but
it looks bad.
Yeah, it looks stupid. Curious George has
but I mean, it is though because the cartoon outline of his tail is black.
Well, you're getting into semantics here. The 3D model of him doesn't have a black tip.
Pull it up.
No, because then they do the aesthetic thing where they like add the lines. But if you wrote to anyway, Curious George never had a tail. And yeah, that one I'm like, duh.
Yep,
that doesn't look right when he has a tail.
No, it looks bad.
Looks stupid. What else do we got? Kit Kat doesn't have a dash. There's no dash in between.
I thought
Kit
it was
Kat.
Capital KIT, capital KAT.
That's right.
Next to each other.
That's right. I don't know what I ever thought about that. One that I wanted to explore was that people remember a Sinbad movie from the 90s, but there isn't one.
Okay. I have a lot to unpack on that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the clip that they made on April Fool's Day?
Yeah, because he joked about it.
My God, it's incredible.
Yeah. And I can't remember. I came up with an explanation for this, and I can't remember what it was. But I think it's just because he has an exotic name, I guess. And people are like, ooh, that's genie-ish. And so they're like, he played a genie once.
It's also S. Shaq Sinbad. Yeah. And his career was popular around that time.
Yeah, it definitely was. And people are racist.
Yep, that too. That's like an unspoken thing that people don't mention in that.
Yeah. Well, no one wants to say it out loud.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nope.
Good, because I don't want you to talk anymore. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This has been...
Strangest Stale.